Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If only false teachers felt the financial sting of coronavirus. This is Wretched Radio. There is no doubt many people are feeling pain from coronavirus. Even without catching the illness, they are feeling the impact of major decisions by our government to quarantine, to shut down businesses. That is not my place to debate those things. I'm just a guy with an opinion. But, oh, that it would impact financially the financial hucksters. But I don't think it will. False teachers who prey upon people, who give them messages that they want to hear, I don't think we'll feel the pinch of coronavirus one iota. And that's a bummer. There are so many people who are being financially scalded from this. Again, not a commentary on anything other than an observation of the reality. People are not able to pay their bills. People are looking at their retirements and going, yikes, what are we going to do, Helen? But the false teachers, the prosperity hucksters, they keep on counting their money. Some people thought, well, maybe this will out them. People will see clearly these people don't have the ability to go around like Jesus healing people. They can't go out into the streets and do miraculous, organic, complete healings. You would think that this would expose that. Otherwise, the president, I'm sure, he could simply ask Paula White. Apparently, he sees her regularly. Hook me up with some of your fellow hucksters, and let's get them healing people so that we can flatten the curve. That's not happening. And you would think some people would observe that and say, hey, wait a second. Why aren't they going over to Italy? Why aren't they healing those people in Lombardy who are dying? There's one hospital where they have had no success. None. Nobody's lived through coronavirus in one hospital. Why aren't they there? Franklin Graham went there with a medical team. I got to tell you something. That is one of the finest testimonies that I have seen in a long time. Not just with Italians, but the world sees what Franklin Graham and their the name of the ministry.
Samaritan's Purse.
That's the one right there. They're going over there with medical equipment, setting up a temporary hospital to help people in the name of Jesus. Very clear about that. And I wonder how many Roman Catholics in Italy are seeing that and kind of connecting some dots. How many people around the globe are seeing that awful, terrible Franklin Graham, who thinks that marriage should be between one man and one woman? How many people in England who barred him from coming over to do his crusades that they do? How many of them might be looking at this and going, oh, wait a second. You mean the hater? That terrible man? He's doing a nice thing that it doesn't appear any other people are doing. What a testimony. Where are the faith healers that are on TV bilking people of money? Where's Ken Copeland with his oily hand, supposedly with oil, healing people? Why through the TV screen? Ken, why aren't these ministries buying primetime TV? I'll bet it's cheap these days. And they could just, he could heal him through the TV set, prime time on the networks. I'm sure that they'd even give him time if he could demonstrate, yes, Ken, you have the ability to heal, but he doesn't. Now, here's the punchline in my estimation. Won't make a bit of difference. It won't put a dent in their pocketbooks that people see that these people are phonies. They cannot heal. They do not heal. It is all about milking cash out of people. And it's successful and it works, and this won't slow them down a bit. Now, it may impact them in that people who are struggling, who are feeling the pinch of the quarantine, they're just not going to be able to, because they've just got to pay the bills, keep the lights on, provide diapers. That's going to be the absolute best they can. So they'll feel it in that regard, but nobody will question their, I was going to say authority, but it's more of their veracity, their honesty, that they're actually an authentic healer. Nobody is going to question that in those circles. Why? Because they are simply delivering what people want to hear. They are selling people a product that they desire to purchase, even if it isn't with sending in their money for a sowing a seed blessing. It's because that's what they want to hear. People like it, and this will not slow down the prosperity train one iota. And isn't that a shame? For instance, Jim Baker's ministry is now being sued by the state of Missouri. They're offering something for just a small gift to the ministry called Silver Solution. You give us a gift, we'll send you the Silver Solution. And they don't quite come out and say it's going to heal you, but they've certainly crossed the line. And are making promises. Missouri's going, no. Is Missouri the show me state?
Show me state, yeah.
Well, that's kind of appropriate now, isn't it? Show us the results. Show us the science behind this. They don't have it. He's a huckster. Will it impact his ministry? No, it hasn't already. What more did the man need to do to demonstrate that he's a false teacher? What more needed to happen to at least agree he's disqualified from ministry? Doesn't stop it. Why? Because that's what some people want. What is the practical implication of this for you? You know somebody who is stuck in the prosperity movement, and you scratch your head and you can't figure out why they don't come to their senses and get it. Because they don't want to. They want their teaching. They want their ears tickled. How do you deal with that? I would suggest to you, going after their false teachers is like going after their spouse or child and saying, you know what, you got a really ugly daughter. That's what it sounds like to them if you criticize their false teacher. I think it's better to simply teach the truth. Could you possibly reason with them to say, hey, just look, where is Benny Hinn right now? Has anybody seen hide nor hair of him? Where is Todd White? Why isn't he? How's about this? The North Georgia Revival, happening not too far away from the ministry here in Atlanta. We've been watching this one go on for about a year and a half now. These are the people, if you recall, they had the anointed Bible. This was the Bible that oozed oil. It was delivered to them from up in Dalton, Georgia, I believe, where some air quote ministry said, we've got a Bible that oozes oil. Turns out it was oozing oil. Tractor oil.
Wow, that's going to be really helpful to some farmers who need supplies.
Well, see, it might work for some.
Oh,
But they were at the farm implement store buying. It was canola oil, I think. And they were, whatever their little pump system, their little shenanigan parlor trick was, it was oozing oil. They had it up at the North Georgia Revival, showing people. It was outed as a hoax. Did that stop the revival? No. So what did stop the revival? Everybody was healed? No. Coronavirus actually stopped the revival. They actually had to announce the healing revival has been discontinued because of coronavirus. Okay, if we can't see a little bit of irony and humor in that, I don't know what we can laugh about, frankly. The healing revival is afraid of a virus. Huh. That's the kookiest thing. Now, contrast that, interestingly. I did see some YouTube videos of some prosperity ministries, Rodney Howard Brown for one of them, who is on, this was, I think, a couple of weeks old now. maybe a week old. We are not going to shut down this church. We're not afraid. So everybody shake hands. It was interesting. Romney himself didn't shake anybody's hand, but he had everybody in the congregation shaking hands because we're not afraid of this. We're going to not be shut down by this coronavirus. And I saw another, I think it's Maldonado, Apostle Maldonado, saying the same thing. Isn't it interesting? It's all of these historical charlatans that are acting wildly, inappropriately, dangerously, and they are not going to get put out of business from this. Why? Because the people who follow them want their teaching, and it does not matter if it is exposed as being absolutely unbiblically ridiculous. Because that's what they want. And so while we see so many people that are being financially hurt because of coronavirus, and let me tell you something, this is a time for the church to shine. Might I encourage you? If you can, look to the people in your local church. Are there people there who need help? I'll bet there are. We take care of the household of faith first, then people concentrically in circles from there. But this is a chance for us to help those who are hurting. And as far as those people who are hurting because of the false teachings of false teachers, just preach the truth and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, because being outed certainly isn't doing the trick. This is Wretched Radio.
Imagine it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring. Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring! The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait! There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We are also very grateful to our gospel partners, the folks who, well, let wretched be wretched. They partner with us to save the lost. Would you prayerfully consider today becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? Wretched.org/donate has all the details. Yep, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so all your gifts are tax deductible. And we are a member in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So there are folks keeping track of what we do with the money. We do work hard to be good stewards with your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar you give goes straight to ministry work. Ministry work preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Would you join us and add us to your prayer list? Wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation, written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The pagans are acting like pagans again.
Sort of. This is Wretched Radio, unbelievers' response to coronavirus. It is both pagan and yet, whoo, thankfully, not pagan. Headline, America shows its true colors because of coronavirus. How altruistic we are, how caring we are, how loving we are. Well, that would be the Christian worldview, but it is not the unbeliever's worldview. And so as you see the world responding to coronavirus with any sort of kindness, concern, or care for other people, praise God that they're not acting like pagans. They are actually using your worldview to be nice to others, because the ungodly worldview, it does not promote any sort of altruism. It promotes selfishness. If unbelievers were applying their evolutionary godless worldview, look out. This would be a mess. This would not look the way that it currently does. You would not even see governments acting with any sort of care. The evolutionary worldview, last time I checked, still falls neatly under the phrase the survival of the fittest. If pagans were acting like pagans, they would see the coronavirus and say, oh, good, it's about time we have something to thin the herd, to get rid of the useless feeders, to do away with a demographic that does not contribute much to our society. They would be rejoicing over coronavirus, but they're not. Why? It's God's grace. It is God's kindness that they have not been so totally depraved where there is just no ability for them to operate with the inner light that God has given to them, the conscience that he has provided for them, the operating system that is designed by God to be kind and caring and loving and good and helpful. It is remnants of their imago Dei, but it is not their unbelieving worldview. They are being entirely inconsistent as we see them respond to coronavirus. And I'm grateful for it. Don't get me wrong, because if the pagans were acting like pagans, you and I would be in really big trouble. And so would anybody who got sick. It might be something that you consider asking somebody if you are desiring to witness to them during coronavirus, that presuming they're healthy, presuming they are an unbeliever, may I ask you, how do you justify desiring to see people healthy? Why are you staying quarantined for the sake of other people? Why are you doing that? Why don't you just go out and sneeze on people? Actually, it might expedite the process of getting rid of people who are presumably weak. Can you justify that with your worldview? And they can't. Now, they will say some, they will have some responses. Well, it's good for the species. Actually, no, that's not what Darwinian evolution teaches. You get rid of the sick. The infirm die. That is a good thing. The weak get eaten. That improves the species, not helping. They have no consistent explanation for why they are behaving the way that they are. And then we could suggest to them that maybe the biblical worldview actually explains how the world operates. And the only way that they can have concern, care, and compassion for people is because of God. Otherwise, we are merely lucky pond scum. Molecules colliding against one another. Why are people sacrificing their income to be quarantined? They're maybe not getting a paycheck. their worldview, the godless worldview, would say, are you kidding me? I'm not going to do this so that old people who smoke won't die. My worldview says, let them. They can't explain why they are being cut. We can. We can bring that. What? Old people who smoke should die.
A little offended by that. I've been triggered.
This is going to be interesting. I'm not taking a cheap shot. Believe me, I'm happy to take cheap shots. But I wonder, because the coronavirus, it appears to be really a respiratory issue that causes, well, the deaths. Yeah. People end up breathing difficulties. The vaping business. If we will see when everything shakes out, what did vaping do as far as making people more vulnerable to coronavirus? Answer at this moment, don't know, but I suppose time will tell. And by the way, all of these current debates about the statistical rates and what have and what the percentages are and dangers and what have you, might I just say something that probably doesn't need to be said? I'm not an expert on those things. Nor are most people. We've all got opinions. I've noticed a lot of people are making comments about this virus. It's like, you're on TV and you're what? You're the financial guy on Fox and you're telling me about, can you just help me justify why I should actually listen to you? Maybe I'm thinking about Vody Bachum. Do you remember Vody last week? I believe we shared a presentation from Vody on pragmatism, the worldview that says the ends justifies the means, which is another godless worldview that is anti-Christian to the core. The ends never justify sinful behavior, ever. We do what is right, regardless of the consequences. The godless worldview says, no, you do what you need to in order to have a good outcome. That's utilitarianism. And he said that it is infected politics, in that we have voter guides that simply tell us, how's the person going to vote? But that's pragmatism, as opposed to the understanding of why people do what they do from a more Christian perspective would be to ask, what motivates this person? What is their worldview? What is their rationale for wanting lower taxes, higher taxes? Who is this person? Because one thing is certain. People bring that to the party. You cannot separate worldviews from votes, nor can you separate, in my opinion, worldviews from interpreting statistics. You can't. So that is why we would do well. I don't know that it's possible, but when you hear different talking heads pontificating about coronavirus, who are they? What do they bring to the table? What is their typical agenda? What is their religious system that informs their interpretation of data? Because there's no that is one thing that to me has become crystal clear. I read articles just like you do, brilliant minds looking at data from coronavirus to try to figure out, hey, where are we at with this thing? Is this the correct response? Is it an overblown response? Is the response going to cause more problems than the actual illness? And that debate's going on. Brilliant people coming to totally different conclusions. How is that? Presuppositions. Worldview. You cannot interpret anything without bringing something to the party. Just food for thought. Before you consume anybody's articulation on the issue, presuming they're an expert, I'm not sure that anybody who's not an expert is actually qualified to say anything about it, myself included. What's their worldview? Where are you coming from, sir or madam? I'd like to know your religious beliefs. I'd like to know your political beliefs. I'd like to know what you think about issues like evolution, perhaps global warming. I'd like to know that because it does make a difference. Is there any moral to that story for Christians? Yes. Hermeneutics. You and I do the same thing when it comes to interpreting the Bible. You bring something to the party. I will say a word, and you tell me what your response is. All right, I want you to come up with one word. Okay, so Joey and Tony, this is word association. I'm going to say one word. You say the first word that comes to your brain. Ready? Are your microphones on? Are you in the saddle? Prepared for instantaneous answers. You do not need to ring a buzzer.
Yes.
Here it is. Make sure that you're ready. I want to make sure that I overhype this. Friel, it's too late for that. Here's your word. Marijuana.
Pizza.
Okay, excellent. Joey, Tony?
Marijuana pizza?
Sorry, I already had that word in my head.
It didn't matter. See, I just figured munchies was the
connection.
I was
going to go with dumb. But...
That's the first word I came up with was munchies.
Okay, munchies and dumb. All right. The Christian who wants to understand the issue rightly is going to study the issue of pot needs to lose dumb and munchies. You just got to scrap that and go to the text itself to see what it says and let that inform you. Because as we see people with different presuppositions interpreting data, statistical data, differently with different outcomes, I think it's because of their presuppositions and worldviews. Same thing is true with us, that we bring those things to the party and that we need to set those things aside if we are going to come up with the right answer that isn't influenced, right or wrong, by my pre-understandings of an issue. All that to say... Who knew that coronavirus had anything to do with hermeneutics? The answer to that would be nobody ever really imagined that.
You've invented a new school.
We could start a new denomination with that. Be mindful of anybody who tries to sell you information or a product. Because they always have some sort of a pre-understanding behind it. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The Chinese Communist government continues its campaign against Christianity even during the coronavirus outbreak, destroying more crosses and demolishing a church while people are in lockdown. On March 13th, a church in Guiyang County, Anhui Province, saw its cross removed by authorities. Bob Fu from China Aid also shared a video showing a church in Jiangsu Province being destroyed on March 11th. And another church in the city of Bengbu, Anhui Province, also had its cross removed at the beginning of March. Amid the coronavirus outbreak, which originated in Wuhan, China, most of the churches across the country, both underground or state-approved, are able to meet online as of now. However, in China's Shandong province, two state-run Christian organizations, the Three Self-Patriotic Movement and China Christian Council, released a statement ordering all online preaching to be ceased and churches that gather in secret to be rooted out, reports China Aid. It also posits officials should guide Christians in other ways, with the caveat of not gathering together. For the past 20 years, China's been labeled by the U.S. State Department as a country of particular concern for religious freedom violations. In Open Door USA's 2020 watch list, China ranks 23rd when it comes to countries in the world where persecution of Christians is at its worst. While we're still praying for our brothers and sisters. In Iran, an attempt to avoid overcrowding and potential COVID-19 outbreaks, 85,000 prisoners and political prisoners have been temporarily set free. One prisoner's name I noted, 35-year-old Ramil Bet-Tamraz, an Assyrian Christian serving a 4-month sentence at Evin Prison for his participation in house churches. His sister, who has left Iran, Debrina, confirmed his prison release to Article 18, a nonprofit group committed to Iranian human rights and religious freedom. Ramil was released from prison on February 26th after only serving 3 months of his initial 4-month sentence. And despite the good news, his parents are still in prison. His father is Pastor Victor Bet-Tamraz, currently serving a 10-year prison sentence for conducting evangelism and illegal house church activities, among other charges amounting to, quote, actions against national security. He and his wife were arrested after they held church services at home after the church he pastored was forcibly closed in 2009. The pastor's wife is serving a 5-year sentence for acting against national security, establishing and managing house churches, participating in Christian seminars abroad, and training Christian leaders in Iran for the purposes of espionage. According to Open Doors, USA's 2020 World Watch List, Iran ranks as the 9th worst country in the world when it comes to Christian persecution. As of now, Iran has more than 18,000 reported cases of the coronavirus and over 1,400 deaths, the third most infected country after China and Italy. Praying for our brothers and sisters. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Vercanis.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible, and while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On the other hand, the pagans are acting like pagans again. This is Wretched Radio. Some states making some decisions about what medical services are deemed necessary. We're seeing no consistent response to that. Some are saying this, others are saying that. There are some states who are actually saying, gasp, abortion is not necessary. And so, because of coronavirus, you're going to have to wait. And we see their true colors shining through. There are people who are furious at the government. Let's go to the state of Ohio, shall we? Which has a huge number of really big cities in the state of Ohio. The headline from this particular response, this is actually WND reporting on this. A quote from an abortion activist. I just can't figure out a way to say that word without swearing. Their response is they are furious. It is complete and utter nonsense.
Baloney.
That abortions are considered non-essential medical processes, medical procedures that can wait. Oh, no, they can't, say the abortionists. Ohio Attorney General David Yost sent letters to the Women's Medical Center in Dayton, Ohio, and Planned Parenthood in Cincinnati, ordering the abortion clinics to stop providing any services that require personal protective equipment. What is personal protective equipment? Respirators, eye protection, hearing protection, protective clothing, gas mask, gloves, overalls, boots, goggles. Because of the shortages out there, unless it's essential, don't do it. This attorney general said abortion isn't essential. You're not going to die if you have a baby. In fact, nobody will die if you don't have that abortion. And wow, the responses. Renee Bracey Sherman, an abortion writer who calls herself the queen of all abortions. Well, you know, we have to have goals. Tweeted that the order is nonsense, complete and utter nonsense. By the way, this queen of all abortions, that title that she's given to herself, is entirely meaningless. Why? Because everything with a godless worldview is utterly meaningless. Queen means nothing. King means nothing. Pawn, rook means nothing. Goals, getting into the Guinness Book of Records, it means nothing from a godless worldview. I'm thinking about Jason Lyle in a Road Trip to Truth episode. I'm telling you, he smacked this so hard and so well. Can't wait to share it with you. He said, the atheist, the unbeliever, the agnostic can say, my goal in life is to make the world's biggest ball of peanut butter. Okay. It's entirely pointless and arbitrary because there is nothing transcendent to make it anything but molecules colliding. I want to walk around with a block of cheese on my head for the rest of my life. Now, there are actually people in Green Bay who have determined that is their life's purpose. But I'm telling you, unless there is something or someone transcendent that says, that's the goal, that's the high thing, that's the lofty thing, it's purposeless. It is pointless. I do believe this is why we are seeing more and more confused kids on university campuses. We are asking them to be insane. Hey, there's no purpose in life, but make sure you get a four-year education. You're going to have massive debt that you're going to be strapped with, but you better go out there and get a good job, make lots of money, make your mark, but it's entirely pointless. Queen of all abortions, it means nothing from a godless worldview. This is Lauren Rankin, She's a writer. Make no mistake, this isn't about public health. This is a despicable use of a global pandemic to end legal abortion in the state. Abortion is essential care, period. I'd like to hear that case made. It's essential. A woman, indeed, she could be considered, if you have that perspective, inconvenienced. Could it wreck plans? Sure, it could. Is it essential in that she will die? No. No, it isn't. This is from National Abortion Rights Action League President Elise Hoag. The GOP and the right-wing zealots, hey, I'm a zealot on this issue, in Ohio are cravenly trying to use COVID-19 to shut abortion clinics across the state. Isn't it amazing how they can read motives? Wow, they're gnostic. They know what people are thinking behind it. Did they use their soothsaying abilities for the shutting down of anything else? No, just their pet issue. Quote, even in a national crisis, they don't stop their relentless assaults on women and pregnant people. Paging the baby. Abortion services are essential. Clinics must stay open. Here's my question. Why? Why is that essential? By the way, they have to queue up because there's other people lining up at that trough. Transsexuals, transgender people are saying, hey, it's essential for us too. We need to have our surgery. The government says no. Transgenders are saying, we insist. Sit back, Christian. Enjoy the popcorn and watch the show.
Wow.
Hey, got a question for you, Christian. In this season of coronavirus, is it possible that you are concerned that what we are seeing is potentially a government overreach into the freedoms and liberties of Americans?
Oh, yeah.
Is that causing you to question the issue of guns? I bring that up because it was brought up to me by Stephen, who wrote an email that said, I was curious to know where you stand on firearms. Well, first of all, don't stand on firearms.
Thank you. That is
not correct protocol.
Moreover,
where God stands. Honestly, right now, the coronavirus does not concern me. However, government overreach and looters do. And as a typical Texan, I love guns. Well, being a Texan comes secondary to being an evangelical because born-agains love guns. It is a fruit of salvation, apparently. My family loves to go shooting. We shoot at targets. But when it comes to guns in churches...
Wait, they have gun ranges at targets?
No, they don't. When it comes to... We don't go to targets anyway.
Be worth going, then.
Anything that's got a bullseye... We don't go there.
The restrooms would be safer.
Gun in the car or shooting someone in need who is trying to get into your house or a National Guardman who thinks he's doing good trying to take you to a quarantine. I'm not sure. This is an issue that I think is a good one for Christians to think through. There are some exercises, and I can read the emails now, that cause some Christians to go, aren't there more important things to talk about? Well, no doubt there are, but sometimes exercises and helping you sharpen your theological and your hermeneutical skills is a good thing. The only thing that I would ask you to consider as you look at the gun issue, and this is my only request, if we are going to ponder what is the Christian's attitude toward guns during this season, approach the Bible without your Texas attitude. You got to lose that. This is a part of correctly expositing the Bible to come up with the correct worldview. You have to lose your attitude about guns. You can't bring the Constitution or the Bill of Rights with you when it comes to seeing what does the Bible say about this issue. That is how we figure out God's position. The challenge is we all have attitudes and opinions, and even evangelicals can have different pre-understandings about different subjects. For instance, let's just say when you were about 6 years old, your brother said, hey, how's about if we shoot Todd in the foot with a pellet gun?
All right, that would sound like fun at 6 years old.
It sure did to a group of boys who decided to implement their plan and strategy and shoot somebody in the foot with a pellet gun.
So how do you work for this Todd person?
I bring that to the party. Now, I have to confess to you, it really doesn't alter my opinion one way or the other. But I'm just saying, if you've had an experience with guns, that you're going to bring that. It's embedded in you. It is a part of your life's experience, and you simply have to check it at the door to figure it out. Now, this is not a holistic treatment of the issue of guns. It is currently legal to own guns. I do believe that if a Christian decides to pack heat in home and at church for the protection of people in your car, I don't think that's a sin at all. Now, might you have the wrong understanding, the wrong motivation for it? Yeah, you've got to work on that. But I don't think, Stephen, that the Bible has an issue with us carrying guns. Am I concerned that the government is going to be sending people into our homes? Totally separate issue. It's just a different issue. That would then tilt my understanding of what does God say about the issue of firearms. And he does speak on these things. We simply need to bring it forward 2,000 years by leaving our pre-understandings behind. And I think that we can agree that God is okay with weapons. We see the misuse of weapons in the Bible. There may be wisdom issues attached to it, but if you lose all of your pre-understandings and just look at the Bible, all I can say is pack on. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God. Co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican.
Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
Iron. Criticizing iron.
This is Wretched Radio. Joey.
Yes.
Welcome to the hot seat. You, as our official in-house Presbyterian, will answer one question, sir. Do you believe that it is a sin to not worship on Sunday morning? Yes or no, sir?
No.
Uh-oh. You, my friend, are at odds with the divines of your denomination. Well, at least mostly of your denomination. The Westminster Confession actually makes the case that it is a sin to not worship on Sunday. This is a subject, while historically we maybe wouldn't have found much of a reason to debate, we've really understood and accepted culturally Sunday morning, that is the time when you do church. But that is probably for most of us a culturally informed decision. The question is, what does the Bible say about Sunday morning worship? It is not silent, and it might actually depend on your denomination and your hermeneutic system, your eschatological system, to determine whether you think it is a sin to worship on Sunday, not worship on Sunday morning or not. Here's my question. If you believe that church should happen, that it is commanded to happen on a Sunday morning, how do you make that case? How do you get there? Have you thought that through? Let's work our way through an issue that is maybe a little bit more complex than it sounds. And because we're all dealing with this issue, with the government telling churches don't worship on Sundays, we do well to figure out, what is this issue? Is this a first-tier issue? Is this an issue that if the government tells us to not do it, that we have the ability to rebel and not obey? Now, it gets complex, of course, considering the issue and that there are other commands in view regarding illnesses. But let's focus on how we arrived at the decision that as a whole, we get together on Sunday morning. And most people, I think, intuitively would say, wait, what do you mean you didn't go to church on Sunday? They would treat it as if it is a sin to miss church. But the question is it? So here's what I think we need to do. We need to look at all of the verses that talk about the Sabbath, the assembling of the saints, a time set apart for God. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I guess we could start with the Mosaic Covenant. We could look at the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So 1425, we see God instituting a day of rest. I think we need to keep flipping more to the left. That began on the seventh day of creation. We see God, not under the Mosaic Covenant, setting aside a day of worship, a day of rest, if you will. He rested from his labors, and we follow suit. There was a pattern that began there. It was codified in the Mosaic Law. You are going to take off that day, and you are going to rest, and it is going to be a holy day unto the Lord. The Jewish people celebrated that, but what was that? What was that day? That day was a pointer. Colossians tells us that it was a type. It was a shadow of a greater substance to come. And that is why Jesus engaged in the Sabbath battles that we see throughout the Gospels. The battle over his activities and the activities of the disciples on Saturday. They were willing to heal. Jesus was healing people. It drove the Pharisees bonkers because they believed that they were keeping the Sabbath holy by not laboring. But Jesus did. Furthermore, and I think a more instructive story from the Gospels would be the disciples, when they were eating wheat on the Sabbath. They were doing this. They were rubbing their hands together to get the grain, get rid of all of the chaff that existed. And they were busted for that. And Jesus' response to them was, hold on a second. Let's take a look at that law. Laws were made for man, not man-made for laws. And we see that the disciples, he believed, were not sinning because they needed to eat. They were only breaking a rabbinical law, not a biblical law in the Torah. But he did point out that David and his soldiers, they did actually do something that the Bible forbids, and that is to go into the temple and the tabernacle and to eat the sacred bread. That's a big no-no, and yet they did it. Why? Because laws are made for man and not vice versa. And so Jesus said they weren't sinning. Now, how could that be? Because the laws, first of all, we need to remember there are some laws, there's no exceptions, period, ever. But on a rare occasion, and this should not be the first place that we go, there can be times when the laws are just not good for people. And this was one of those times. The Sabbath law was a pointer to a greater substance, Colossians 2:16, that it was a fuzzy picture of a greater reality, and Jesus therefore announced, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. That taking that day off, resting, that's me. It's pointing to me. It was a physical picture of a greater spiritual rest found in me. Back then, you work hard 6 days, get a little physical rest for a day, back to work. Work, rest, work, rest, work, rest. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, a spiritual rest that is totally freeing. Cease from your labors to please, appease, and atone for your own sins. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and every single second of every single day is a Sabbath. And he fulfilled that law as the greater substance. But now we see in the New Testament that the early Christians got together regularly. When? The Lord's Day. It's used three times, at least, in the New Testament. Acts, 2 Corinthians, Revelation. The Lord's Day. They assembled on the Lord's Day. It wasn't Saturday. It was a Sunday. What happened? Well, I think they believed that Jesus had fulfilled that Sabbath law. And now they were free to assemble when they chose, and they chose Sunday morning, which was Resurrection Sunday. And that's the pattern that we see in the New Testament. And that is the pattern that the early church adopted right quick. Is that a command, though? Do we see a verse that says you need to get together every single Sunday morning for church? Hold on. You're probably running to the book of Hebrews to say that we are not to forsake the assembling of the saints. And right you are. So now the question is, how often is that assembling? It doesn't say Sunday morning, once a week, twice every decade. Doesn't say. So what are we left with? We are left with what I would suggest to you is natural law. And this is what the Westminster Confession said. That we put all of this together under something called the law of nature. This is Article 7 on the subject of the Sabbath. As it is the law of nature that, in general, a due proportion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandant, binding all men in all ages, he has particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world, that goes back to the creation week, to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day. And it is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. So they put all of those verses together and conclude, get together every week because that is the precedent that we see starting from creation, setting aside time for God every week up until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Saturday, but after that in the church age, if you will, we see it was Sunday morning. And that would be the natural law time period that you should be going to church. And clearly they stated it is therefore a law and a sin. So now, Joey, have you been persuaded? Church on Sunday morning, are you sin?
I have been persuaded. That's what the Westminster Catechism says. I believe it is best practice. I believe it goes too far to say it's sin.
That's where I think that we are probably at with a lot of people. And that is why this is an iron sharpening iron subject. You don't have a Bible verse that says get together Sunday morning. We do see practice. We do see a precedent that was set. The Westminster Divines would say, no, we actually, it's supported. We move it from best practice into commandment because it, look at how natural this, look at how obvious this is. It was a pattern established from the beginning. Why would God suddenly change that and say, nah, whatever you feel like it is just fine. So you've got yourself some Christians who would say it's precedent. Other Christians that would say it is a commandment based on natural law. Now, you've got a variable here. Coronavirus. What about that? Whichever side you're on, what do you do with that now? You've got other commandments that are involved, like loving your neighbor as yourself. You've got Romans 13. You submit to the government and do what you're told. All that to say, whilst we make our way through some of these very practical iron sharpening iron issues, please, oh, please, please, can we recognize this is not an essential issue? And can we at least sharpen one another lovingly? Please.
Good luck with that.
And until tomorrow, go serve your king.